I'm going to read just a short passage from 2 Samuel 12. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and he said, "There are two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his meager fare, and drink from his cup, and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared that for the guest who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Nathan said to David, "You are the man."
Bathsheba. I feel like I drew the short straw having to talk about Bathsheba. However, after hearing about Tamar and Rahab, Bathsheba's story seems easy. Bathsheba, what preconceived ideas do you bring to the story? Or do you know about this story? She was beautiful, not just Barbie beautiful, but more of a Taylor Swift beautiful, where one is compelled to know about her life. Well, is she at the football game or not? Otherwise, why would David, our little shepherd boy, harp-playing musician, sling-throwing giant slaver youth, throw all his morals out to have her? Oops, I'm getting ahead of myself. I have done much research, reading, watching YouTube videos, and scouring Johanna Harder's book, Expecting Emmanuel, to gain lots of knowledge about Bathsheba. I feel this week I have gained a new best friend. I will introduce you to Bathsheba, and I highlight details of her life. Then I will be concluding this service discussing what traits from Bathsheba makes her a good fit to be in Jesus' genealogy. Oh, and by the way, I feel I should do a viewer discretion before I begin. Speaking like they do before a late night talk show or primetime detective show, some content might be sensitive to younger viewers and may be difficult for survivors of sexual abuse. Let's begin getting to know her. Bathsheba's father was Elam. He came from the northern Israel. We know little about details how she and her husband Uriah, the Hittite, met, but know that Uriah at the time of the story is in the battlefield. We also know that she was a devout person of faith because she was performing the purification ritual the day that King David sought her out. Curious who should be supporting his David, who should be supporting his troops on the battlefields, is looking from his balcony over the rooftops and spots Bathsheba performing the ritual. He has his men go down and bring her to him. Some people suggest Bathsheba was part of this sexual promiscuity. I am not of that camp. I believe Bathsheba was abused. Now, the verb tense suggests in the different scriptures, and I have a slide of this, she did not have an option. If you look, I have chosen the scripture from the King James Version, the NIV, and the CEV, Christian English Version. I do not know Hebrew, and I cannot read the words and translate them. But I looked at different scriptures from different eras, knowing the King James Version is the oldest version on the table here. It says, David sent messengers and took her, and that is from the 2 Samuel 11 passage where he went and took her. The second one, but took the poor man's lamb, is from the passage that Barb just read now. And the reference is that the lamb was Bathsheba. So if you can notice in King James Version, took and took, not much option not to come. And in the second one, the word get and took, once again, not much option for Bathsheba to say no. And if you look at the last one, the most modern or most updated version of the Bible, translation there, it even gets stronger, even a little bit more violent in terminology, to bring her to the palace, and the rich man stole the lamb. So it's interesting how actually the translations are getting more vulgar, I thought. Continuing. So she did not have an option. So Bathsheba, we know that the little lamb was Bathsheba. She was taken without consent. And the next verse says, and he slept with her. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. Joanna, from her book Expecting Emmanuel, states that if Bathsheba is discovered to have become pregnant while her husband was away, she could be executed for adultery. So, in contacting the king, Bathsheba seeks to hold him accountable for his actions. I was awed by Bathsheba's boldness. Actually, to tell the king she was pregnant, I thought so many who are abused remain silent and embarrassed, which ends up protecting the perpetrator. Here is my story. I cannot remember how old I was when my mother's relatives came for a visit from Oregon. I don't believe I was yet 10. They were an older couple, probably in their 50s. He was a pastor at a church in Oregon, and a Mennonite pastor as well. My mom gladly gave them my bedroom for the weekend. She made me a lovely little mat on the floor in my parents' bedroom. The next morning, Mom was in the kitchen preparing breakfast. Who knows what Saturday job my dad was already tackling. I hopped in their bed for an extra little nap. On his way to the bathroom, that bad Oregon man noticed me in my parents' bed and came and sat down beside me. Fortunately, he was startled and left the room before only massaging my chest. That night, at supper, I excused myself from the dining room table. I went into the living room to play. A few moments later, that disgusting visitor man came into the living room. He wanted to read me a story, and for some reason, I allowed him to. I stood against the wall as tight as I could. He sat in the chair beside me. He tried to put his hands down my pants. My dad came into the living room, not noticing what was happening, and said he had an errand to run and wondered if the preacher wanted to join him. The evil man said, nope. Woo-hoo, I found my escape. I said, hey, Dad, I'll come with you, and ran as fast as I could. Fortunately, that was the last encounter I had with that man until one Sunday evening, a few years later. My mother answered, and by the tone of her voice, we tried to eavesdrop. After she hung up, she informed us that evil Oregon man was up for charges for child abuse. I had never said a word to my parents about the inappropriate behavior when he visited that weekend, nor did I say anything that I knew the accusation would be true. I stood in the kitchen that night, grateful that someone had the nerve to speak out, like what Bathsheba had done, informing the king that she was pregnant. She was saying, "You abused me." Haha, I realized that I shared my story at least once. I shared it for the second part of the story, learning how to live successfully after having been abused. I know I'm not the only person with a sexual abuse story in our BMC community. People who have been abused struggle to have healthy physical relationships in some cases. Plus, trusting is an issue. Shalom Counseling was suggested to me to assist with my healing of sexual abuse stories. Our pastors can listen to our stories. However, talking to a professional counselor who has trained in these situations, I believe, is important. If you look at the slide, you can see some options. I went to Shalom for over a year after I worked out. So if you notice, Shalom isn't like under the Mennonite umbrella. So I have it suggested here, and I went to them for over a year. The other one is Camino, which is, as the best I could understand, is Mosaic and Carazon, and now they're called Camino. I also worked through the book, Courage to Heal. And that is the workbook, and there is also a book that isn't the workbook. So those are some options. I have healed, but I have not forgotten. My heart goes to Bathsheba because she had the joy of a newborn inside her, and yet the sad memory of how it happened. Unfortunately, she is not alone in this scenario. I want to pray for Bathsheba. Oh, maybe not this one. Okay, I'll go on. Back to our Bathsheba story. You can close that slide. Back to our Bathsheba story. Her story becomes even more traumatic. I'm going to read the scripture passage to catch us up to speed. Oh, that's small. Okay. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send Uriah the Hittite," and Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. Then it goes on. Then David says, "Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my Lord's men are camped in the country. How could I go to my house, eat and drink, and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. Uriah carried his own death sentence. In it, he wrote, "Put Uriah out in the front where the fighting is fiercest, then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die." Uriah is a champ. Sounds like a great guy. Would have been fun to know him. Whereas David, King David, is having a moral collapse. The scripture goes on to say, when she heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house and she became his wife and bore him a son. We are not the only ones disgusted with David's behavior. 2 Samuel says, the thing that had been done displeased the Lord, and refers to the scripture that Barb read. In expecting Emmanuel, Johanna goes on to say, the rape, the deception, the murder, this is all David's doing. Bathsheba is moved around at David's whim, and she suffers terrible consequences from his action. And this is why I chose the scripture that Barb read. Bathsheba is that one, that little ewe lamb that is described in the verse. Loved and blameless, the lamb was like a daughter. The scripture puts completely the blame on the rich man, King David. You are the man. Bathsheba's life of joy from bearing a child quickly turns to sorrow again. As the child becomes sick and dies, Joanna writes the word trauma to describe what Bathsheba has gone through in the 9 months. 9 months, Bathsheba was raped, lost her son, lost her husband, and then lost her own child. Bathsheba, we grieve and cry for you. We grieve and cry for women since that time who have also been abused. Power. I believe there are two times in today's scripture house that show Bathsheba being strong and powerful. In spite of the dramatic turn in her life took, she shows strength, power. One, recall how she told David she was pregnant. She could have died because of the law. We all know he is capable of killing wild animals, Goliath, Bathsheba's husband. She stood up and told the king she was pregnant. Fortunately, due to the crazy events that ensued, she was not killed. Secondly, she shows strength when she approaches David about Solomon becoming king. Can we look at our Christmas-like Christmas tree genealogy? Bathsheba was not David's first wife or second. Now, if you notice all the pink balls, remember? Those are the ladies in Jesus' genealogy. There are 42 blue Christmas decorations there, you can see. Just to let you know, I did a little research, and so there's 42 generations from Abraham to Jesus, and there are 81 from Jesus to 2024. So we know that Jesus would have known about Bathsheba better than what we would have known Bathsheba, because now we are 81 generations apart, plus probably 40, so 120, whereas Jesus was only 41, so he would have known the story better. Okay, showing the next slide. There we are. There's Uriah married to Bathsheba. And then you can go to the next slide. And there's the arrow getting rid of Uriah with a little arrow. And then you can see that Solomon is a yellow decoration. So Solomon is a yellow decoration because he was not a firstborn. Now, I don't know if I explained this here. Oh, yeah. We learn from the scriptures that one of David's wives, Higgith, bore him a son named Adjoji, so he would have been the firstborn. One day, Adjoji was celebrating and eating because he was to be king. It was his birthright. All of the blue decorations are the firstborn sons. Then we took a look at Solomon, son of Bathsheba. His ornament is yellow. Reading the scripture, you realize that Bathsheba did not manipulate the situation, but she spoke clearly to the king about Solomon becoming the next king. I believe she saw that he was an awesome candidate, intelligent and wise, because we know what happens, that Solomon was a very wise king. She did not see those qualities in her stepson. In any case, her powerful request was honored, and Solomon became king. Conclusion. This is the pre-conclusion. Why is Bathsheba in Jesus' genealogy? There are threads from Bathsheba's story that I think influence Jesus' life and ministry. The first thread. We know that Jesus was intrigued by the scriptures from the story of staying in the temple, talking to the teachers at the age of 12. He knew of Bathsheba. He treated women with great respect. You might want to recall a story of a woman in the New Testament. Chances are it's a positive story. He treated women with great respect. Recall the story when the church leaders brought a woman to be stoned. Jesus' response was, he without sin could cast the first stone. Then when all the leaders left without picking up a stone, he turned to the woman and said, go and sin no more. It wasn't a severe reprimand, but a tone of compassion, I imagine. Recall Jesus on the cross? He said to John, take care of my mother. Oh, and also my most favorite passage in the whole Bible, when Jesus softly says, Mary, as in the garden, on the garden that first evening, Easter morning. In that brief moment, one could tell there was a connection and a friendship between the two of them. One could assess why he was so compassionate and say it was because he had empathy for Bathsheba. The next thread, Jesus tells the story of the shepherd and the lost sheep. The shepherd goes to find that sheep and leaves the 99 behind. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, then goes and tells everyone, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep. The reader realizes the life of the little sheep is very important. I wonder if Jesus' lamb story was inspired by the emotion felt in the lamb story about that Nathan told David. That little lamb grew up with the family and even slept in the poor man's arms. Obviously, the lamb is a reference here of Bathsheba. In my 57 years of Bible research, a lamb is a precious, vulnerable, and loved. The third thread is a reflection of power. Jesus had miraculous power, turning water into wine, healing the sick, calming the storm, feeding the 5,000. But Jesus also had an upside-down power. He was born into a vulnerable world as a baby. He ate with tax collectors and entered the city on a donkey. Curious, where is the thread between Bathsheba's power and Jesus' power? Here's a stretch. Mary saw potential in Jesus and asked Jesus to turn water into wine. Bathsheba advocated for Solomon to become king. Hey, maybe that's the thread. Jesus saw great potential in tax collectors and his disciples. Jesus challenged the Pharisees and hypocrites. He challenged society as it was. Did Bathsheba challenge the norm, encouraging Jesus to do the same? I wonder what threads you might think of that Bathsheba had. I wonder what threads draw you to Jesus as well. The post-conclusion. I told you a traumatic story from my childhood. I want to tell you a happy story from my childhood, and not the one where I met Mickey Mouse. The other happy memory. In the 70s, Abundant Life was a big evangelistic conference. Maybe some of you remember it. It happened in Stratford, at the fairgrounds, my backyard. One night at the children's program, they encouraged children to take Jesus into their hearts, stand up and pray. But I didn't do it. I went home. I went home and I told my mom and dad that I wanted to take Jesus into my heart. It was the 70s way of doing things. So, joyously, my parents and I went into the living room, and we knelt beside the couch. My mom saw potential for my faith and prayed for my soul. My dad advocated for me and prayed. Then I prayed, asking for Jesus to come into my heart. And in the silence and calm, the image of a lamb appeared.